This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 413 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and that there on the other end of the line is Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. How are you?
Yes, I am, and I continue to be, and I hope to continue to be for a little bit longer.
We hope you do as well.
And how have you been continuing to be?
I have.
Excellent.
I have. Yes. How's your week been?
Oh, well, the trouble and strife's been extremely unwell. Which
oh, that's
hasn't
no
helped.
Good.
Yeah, with projectile vomiting and coming at both ends, which is not easy to do. Right. Not easy to projectile vomit at both ends for 2 days, which is...
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah.
Just a stomach bug?
I don't really know. Well, because it was the weekend, so we were all together the whole time.
Right.
We all ate the same stuff.
Right, so not food poisoning.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't think. And we're all in the same place doing the same thing, so it's hard to imagine virus.
Right.
So I just don't really know.
Unless it just hasn't got to you yet.
Well, there's now 4 days on from that, and we're
you should
fine.
Have got it by now. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So it was just a bizarre little thing.
Yeah, that's no good.
So I did my best to care for her by ignoring her and staying away from her as far as possible. So I didn't catch it. This is the last week of school before school holidays, so it's
right.
Trying to frantically get some work done.
Yeah,
before 3 weeks of not being able to get any work done.
Yeah, right.
It's I went ahead and I judged an intra club camera club competition on Monday.
Intra club.
Between two clubs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
So a club v club competition,
right.
Basically. And so I picked up the prints and the digital images a week before. I didn't pick up the digital images themselves. I just picked up the USB key they were on.
Yep.
And there was 30 prints in the print and 30 digital images in the digital section.
Right.
And the worst possible category to judge for me ever.
Landscape.
Open.
Open. What does
Which
open
means,
mean?
There's no, what means there's no theme. There's,
oh.
There's no. So what you've got is 30 completely different style photographs.
Right.
Yeah, of all sorts of subject matters. And to make it even more fun, it was open to any class of photography in the club. So a beginner, an intermediate, or advanced as well. So you had a fair variety of quality of work.
Yeah, right.
And I had to go through and mark each one out of 20.
Right.
And then they would tally up the votes, and they would determine which club wins.
Right.
Because I didn't know which images came from which club, of course.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of years ago, I did the Billowheela Shire Council's Royal Shows photo competition.
Right.
Of which it was, I think, 42 categories of areas of competition.
Right.
And I think 1,200 submissions over the 42 categories. I think I finished them all in about 90 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. And I finished them all in 90 minutes because I didn't have to explain to anyone why I discarded or included them. Yeah. It was me simply, I was judging, then I was leaving, and then the results would be shown at the show that following weekend, and people would like it or lump it, you know.
Right.
And the people up in Billowheela, they'd organised a half a day to do the judging. They got five people to assist. And the assistant's job basically was to lay out each category on a table. So, okay, we're doing this category now, to lay all the photos of that category at the table.
Yeah.
And whilst I'm judging that one, so I'd be sitting at the next table.
Right.
But I could go through 200 images in about a minute and a half. No good. So they were struggling big time just to get the photos on the table fast enough. So quickly. After, I think, I saw some fairly shocked eyes, some fairly bugged out, because no one has obviously ever judged a competition like this in their life. These people were in shock after the second category, and I've just gone through about 80 images in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? And they're goggling and saying, Glyn, you've got to judge the photos. You've got to look at them and determine which one. I said, I have. And they said, how can you do it that quickly? And I said, it's easy. And I picked up this one. This is discarded because of this, this, and this. This is discarded because of this, this, and this. This one's included because of this. And so I picked up about half a dozen random ones and said why they were discarded.
Yeah.
And they're like, geez. You know? Yeah, if you've looked at enough images, you can tell a crap one. And unfortunately, after the 80 images, it was tough to find three or four standouts.
Right.
But three or four will stand out of 80 if they're significantly good enough. And
of course.
That was kind of the case. Lots of low. So that was a fairly easy competition to judge. And they trusted me after that, and I whipped off the whole 90 minutes.
Yeah, you know? I mean, there's a bell curve out of any data set.
Exactly.
Well, take any sampling of data of anything. It doesn't matter whether it's photographs or whether it's the quality of songs on iTunes. The point is that there is a bell curve to any set of data where you've got a majority that sit in the middle and are average, you've got some outliers which are absolutely awful, and then you've got some outliers at the top end which are the standouts.
It just depends how quickly you can see that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, polished a whole lot in about 90 minutes, drove home. Well, drove to the airport, flew home, yeah. This competition, 60 images.
Right.
Took me about 2.5 hours.
Right, because you had to give notes.
Because I had to stand up in front of them all and go through each photo and judge them live.
Oh, dear.
And after my last attempt of doing that, when the first image came up and it was this, a photo of a truck that was no good, and my judgment was, it's a truck. Next! Well, I figured I'd better give some genuine critique.
Right.
So it was an interesting night out. They got me out there, and I said straight away, well, first up, you know, I'm not the best person to be judging photos because I don't believe that photos are a competitive sport.
Yeah.
So we're batting none for once. Secondly, I kind of only like photos with people in them.
Yeah.
Which, all you people submitted photos of flowers, it's not looking very good for you, is it? But it's like... My goal was, after this debacle of the AIPP thing with your Vance and everyone, and all this criticism with how people be unkind to the people who are having their photos judged. Yep. So I sort of took a bit of that on board.
Okay.
I thought, you know, I'm going to be nice to people. You know? First up, I wasn't allowed to score any photo under 9. Okay.
Out of?
So out of 20, I couldn't score anything under 9.
Right.
Okay. But I'd end up not scoring one under 13 was the lowest I went.
Okay.
So that's the highest I went was 18.
Right.
So yeah, I fit 60 images within 5 points of each other, which is not bad. You know? Mm-hmm. I kind of started off with, if you've entered a photo in this competition, you must like it.
Yep.
And if you like it, that's good enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I say next.
Yep.
If you liked it, good job.
Yeah.
Said, all we can hope to do, as any level of, doesn't matter what your level of photographer is hope to be a little bit better than you were last year.
Yep.
So I'm going to critique and say a few things that I think about these photographs. I'm not going to be particularly mean. I'm going to say a few things about where I think they could have maybe been improved and maybe what my impressions were. And I don't do impressions because, you know, anyway. So what my impressions were. And then I went through and basically just said nice things about all the photos. I mean, if anyone knew me in that room, they would have fallen off their chair. Yeah. You know, it wasn't the Bruce Williams critiquing session that I do.
Yeah.
It was, but and there were some quite good images and a bunch of quite average ones. But there's as an example, there was an image of Melbourne's big eye star thing. It is the big, you know, Ferris wheel thing.
Oh yeah.
They go. And their concept was they'd actually cropped the frame so it was more like a 16:9 ratio than a 4:3.
Right.
Or 3:2. So it was it's got almost like a panoramic type of looking image.
Sure.
And they had nothing but grey sky and then the Melbourne, the part of the wheel just covering like a bottom fifth of the photograph. So it was a lot of sky, a little bit of wheel. Compositionally, it was quite nice.
Okay.
But it was out of focus.
Oh, no.
Just wasn't sharp. So it had to be stuff like, look, kudos for the vision.
Yeah.
The style's good, the open space, the way you've introduced the main image. but some images need to be sharp. I said, and not all images, but if you've only got one element of detail in a photograph, and that element needs to be sharp, it isn't. It stands out quite a lot, and it's detrimental to the image.
Yeah.
So whilst I'm not a big fan of everything must be tack sharp, sometimes you need detail.
Yep.
So I gave it a decent mark for vision.
Yep.
But marked it down a bit
for execution of that. Yeah.
But then a few photos further along is this beach shot.
Right.
And nothing was sharp. It was all a bit, but it was all soft in a good way.
Okay.
Like a Monet painting. You know, whoever the guy did the paintings that are slightly blurry, you know, the guy needed Specsavers.
Okay.
So it was a long time exposure, so there was flow to the water, a bit of movement to the clouds, but the movement across the whole image gave it a dreamy seascape kind of look to it.
Right.
So I said, so here's an example of where there's nothing here that needs to be particularly sharp. Yeah. There's nothing here that something being sharp would have added to the photograph, or it not being sharp takes away from the photograph, because everything is the same diffuseness to it, and it adds a dream quality to the photograph, which I thought was quite pleasant. I think actually marked it as came third in the category.
Right.
But so is that juxtaposition between something needing to be sharp and something that was deliberately not sharp.
Yeah.
And how both, how the not sharp one was right and the not sharp one was wrong.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff was kind of interesting, and so I had an enjoyable night, and but I came across another conundrum in the judging.
Oh yeah.
So in the printed section, there was a photo of an Indian gypsy girl. That was really interesting.
Okay.
It had a look of a bit of arrogance to the girl, a bit of
attitude.
A bit of attitude. She was a young girl. She might have only been 18, 17, 16, so, but it had this real attitude. And the photographer had shot from ever so slightly below the girl. So it's kind of looking up over the shoulder at this girl looking down at her.
Right.
So it added to that contemptuousness. That's probably the best word for it. The contemptuousness in this girl's face looking down at the photographer.
Yeah, right. You
know? So it had a lot of power going on to it. The conundrum being is it was taken on my India photo tour by one of my customers. So as a judge, you have to say to yourself, well, you know, it's the image I like the most, regardless of where it was taken.
Yeah.
I should judge it as so.
Right.
Or the fact that it's under my guidance and under my location, etc., maybe I shouldn't. And funny enough, during the course of the day of the actual night, if that makes sense, the day of the night, the woman whose photo it was emailed me, not knowing anything, but emailed me saying, can't wait for tonight, really looking forward to you. Unbeknownst to me, someone in the club submitted one of my images.
Oh, wow.
Feel free to mark it down completely. I won't take any offense to it because maybe it's not right that you're judging one of my photos.
Wow.
So when she won... It's a complete bloody shock to me. Because as I said, this was taken in one of my events. Yeah, I've got photos of the same girl, but they're not as good as this. Right. And this image is the strongest of the bunch, and you can't mark someone down just because of who they were with when they took the photo.
Yep.
And it's not something I set up. So it wasn't my image that they'd taken and submitting. It was an image that she captured from her own perspective and everything else.
Yep.
And it was really good. So it was interesting, that little conundrum
being upfront about all of that is the best move.
Yeah, absolutely. So
nice.
And the other interesting thing that came out of it was I judged all the digital images higher than the printed images.
Okay, why?
And it just seemed there was a lacking of clarity in almost all the printed images.
Right.
Yeah, the sharpness wasn't there. And I don't know if it was the printers or whoever's doing the printing or whatever, but the images just weren't as crisp.
Right.
In printed images as they were in the digital images.
Wow.
On a backlit screen, et cetera, you know.
Just out of interest, what size were the printed images?
Oh, they would be anywhere from sort of 8x10 to 11x14.
Okay. So reasonable size.
Yeah, but not huge either at the same time. But there was just a sort of a little bit of a muddiness and just a little bit of lacking of clarity in all of them.
Wow.
And by the end of the night, the two clubs ended up 4 points apart from each other.
Wow.
Over 60 images, which is pretty amazing. And one club won, one club lost, obviously, as you do in any competition. But the previous year's club competition between the two, the other club had won, but only 5 points.
Oh, so wow.
It was amazingly concise.
And consistent. Yeah.
So that was an interesting little experience. And
nice.
Yeah, and I kind of enjoyed that. And I made up I didn't really go through any ideas about what I wanted to say about the photos. I kind of made it all up on the spot.
Yeah,
figuring that was – and I mentioned to them about the truck.
Much like your approach to this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mentioned the fact that the last time I did live judging, it was truck and next, and it didn't go down very well. So halfway through, there's a photo of something, and they've gone, flower, next. Yeah, to keep people happy.
Nice.
So I did that this week. I finished my article for Tamron USA on Fiji.
Oh, yeah?
That's all coming together. I think they've chosen about 6 or 8 images for an article. And
nice.
Interviewed me as well and stuff. So that's going to be a nice little article coming out. I think it's going to be out whenever it comes out.
Cool.
So that'll be interesting. So
before we move on from that, did you have to get model releases signed?
Well, here's the thing. No.
Why?
Why?
Because I know your photos. They always have people in them.
But what am I doing with them?
Well, you're including them in an article that's going to be published by Tamron, aren't you?
Yeah, but what am I doing with them? What kind of work is that? It's Eddie.
Editorial.
You don't need model releases for editorial work.
Oh, don't you?
No, only for commercial use.
So what exactly is the difference between editorial and commercial?
Well, I'm writing an article on travel photography and meeting people, et cetera, et cetera. It's got nothing to do. I'm not assigning products to these people and saying, this girl drinks such and such brand of coal or whatever it may be. I'm not using them in any form of advertising piece representing them and the product.
Oh, okay.
I'm using them as strictly as an editorial usage.
Oh,
so there's okay. No need for model releases.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, editorial versus commercial use, very, very different, yeah.
Huh.
But realistically, you should get model releases. I never ever – I can't remember the last time I ever got a model release. But you should if you don't know what you're going to do with the images,
right,
or you have some intent to do something with the images.
Yep.
Because maybe someone out of the blue will offer you a significant sum of money to use that image for something commercially.
Yep.
And you don't have a model release, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no intention of doing anything like that. So there's no problem there at all.
Right.
What else to do? So I'm starting to prep my New York talk for Photo Plus in New York next month.
Okay.
Yep. And so I'm going through some old hard drives, looking for some images that I haven't, I've got stacks of images all over the place that I've never done anything with, never even really looked at.
Right.
For the folders. So I was doing that, and I came across a couple of landscapes. Which I
is this the stuff that you've been putting on Facebook this week?
Yeah, so I've had them sitting on the hard drive for a year and a half and not done anything with them. So I put them on there, much to the chagrin of people saying, now it's your turn to critique me.
Right.
Because, landscape's been your domain. And you had a perfect opportunity, and you said, nah, I'm not gonna.
Got nothing.
Don't want to play.
It was great. It was a great photo. I had nothing to contribute.
See what I mean? What's the fun in that? Where's the fun in any of that?
Look, if I saw you post something that I thought was absolute crap, I'd say so. But you don't.
Wouldn't stop me with you, though.
What was that?
Stop me with you, though.
No, it wouldn't.
No, because I always look at my photos like a year. I look at a photo I post like a year later.
Yeah.
And go, why did I post that? That's crap. I put that online. What was I thinking when I decided that was a good thing to put up?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, isn't it? What we see down the track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been having some fun with some images, just playing around, and
nice.
Got a couple of landscapes that were kind of good. I found it my favourite one of the week, funnily enough, and I was mentioning this. The day at the interclub competition, I mentioned the fact that my goal per year is to take 6 to 10 photos that I really like, and I rarely make it. And as I said, to him, the only person that matters if you like the photos are you and no one else, which is why my judging is unimportant.
Yeah.
And I said, because I know for every one of those 6 to 10 photos that I manage to capture per year that I love, I know when I put it on Facebook, there'll be crickets. No one will like it.
Right.
Whereas I'll put something up online that's like, eh, whatever, you know, and it'll go troppo.
Yeah.
Yeah, with people, So that's what I said on Monday night. On Tuesday, I put up a photo of some sun rays coming through some palm trees.
Which was great.
Which I thought, yeah, whatevs. Yeah. And it went troppo. Yeah, it's just exactly that. To me, it was an image that was so-so. It was average. It was whatever. And I could have easily just never touched that image and easily just discarded it and not put it on Facebook at all.
Yeah, right.
But at the last minute decided to, and everyone likes it. You know, it's just funny. The things that float your boat and don't float your boat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then someone today on Facebook said, someone said to me, we'll make a landscape photographer out of you yet, Glenn. And I put down, I doubt it. And then someone commented, why not? These are great.
Mm.
And then I put a photo of two monks, novice monks, in front of that same landscape. I said, because I'd much rather have people in front of it.
Yeah.
And the people one stands out to me like anything. The other ones are like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
A building with some mist. Yeah. So it's kind of funny. But of all the photos I liked during the week that I came across was actually a photo taken I took at the Taj Mahal.
Okay.
And it's down the main reflecting pool of this woman holding up her iPad and taking a photo.
Oh, yes.
So you can see the Taj Mahal on the iPad screen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, there you go. That just sums up everything these days.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, people complain about carrying a camera. Oh, the camera's too big to carry around, but they carry an iPad now.
Yeah.
It's like, don't understand, people. I had to message someone this morning in the States named Becky.
Okay.
And when I typed Becky, this other person named Becky popped up.
Right.
I've gone, God, that's weird. I haven't heard of that woman's name in years. Right?
Yeah.
Haven't just thought about it. Just that very second, that woman posted on Facebook one of my photos. And it's, I love traveling through your photos, Flynn. Thanks for posting. But A, the irony that this person who by chance came up as you just typed the name Becky, and that she spells my name wrong anyway, which could be an autocorrect kind of thing. But so funny. But there is a funny coincidence. And that happened to me twice today.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to this ex-Hollywood director mate of mine about the Rohingya crisis in Myanmar, because we've been posting these images of Myanmar. And he was born in Myanmar. And his grandfather videoed and photographed the Nanjing massacre of the Japanese and the Chinese, I think after World War I or before World War II, something like that.
Right.
And his images helped change history and what was happening there. Right?
Wow.
And so this guy's been approached a little bit about, can the grandson of this guy who changed history have an impact in this area where another massacre is going on, sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
So he's got in touch with me because I've been posting these Burma images. I said, oh, you need to get in touch with my mate Yusuf in Bangladesh because he's been through the camps, he's travelled the routes where the refugees are travelling since the beginning, since the latest flare-up started.
Right.
He goes, oh, great, I'll Facebook friend him. A second later, I get a ping for WhatsApp, it's Yusuf messaging me. It's like, it's a freaky kind of day.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So, I've been doing that, I booked my bloody tickets for New York today.
Yeah.
She booked him yesterday. Same flight went up $200 overnight.
Oh, ouch.
Hate it when it does that.
Yeah.
I hate it when it does that. Just so unfair. It's so unfair.
Next week it'll be $400 cheaper.
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to find some accommodation in New York, in Manhattan, in the Chelsea or Hell's Kitchen kind of area.
Right.
So if we have any listeners out that way, 24th to 29th of October, you want someone to sleep on your couch? all the hotels are $300-$400 US a night.
Yow.
And I'm going on the cheap,
Yeah.
To help me. It's either Airbnb or I might be sleeping on them lovely little park benches.
Well, Airbnb is always a good good go.
Yeah, possibly. But still, the cheapest I can find is still $1,000.
Oh, really? Wow.
For 5 nights. So it's, yeah. And that's sharing with Norman and his boyfriend.
Right. Okay.
Not that there's a problem with that, because Norman could be a lovely guy from all I know, but...
Anyway. Okay.
I think the thing is to buy your airfare tickets when you see them. I could have saved $300.
Yeah.
And gone Air China on only a 62-hour flight.
Oh.
I know. It was Melbourne to Shanghai.
Yeah.
24-hour layover in Shanghai.
Well, that wouldn't
Shanghai
be so bad.
Well, they can't do much in 24 hours. Shanghai to Beijing.
Yeah.
12 hours to fly over Beijing to Newark, you know?
Yeah.
62 hours. And once again, if it was me traveling by myself,
yeah,
I'd do that. I'd do a couple of days in Shanghai. I'd try and get off and do a couple more days. I love Beijing, do a couple of days in Beijing.
Yeah.
Because time's not an issue. But when you're away from family and staff as much as I am, you want to be as much as you can, back home as quick as you can. So. It is what it is, and so to pay more money and bloody things. I spent much time searching through as many flight sites as possible, trying to save that money back, but it didn't happen.
Right.
So tell us, how was your trip to sunny Melbourne? Was it sunny?
The Saturday was, yeah, and the Friday was too. I think from memory, Friday afternoon was all right. Saturday was pretty good. Sunday was overcast and starting to drizzle, but yeah. But no, we had a great time. We had a great time.
You had a couple of good days then.
Yeah.
Weather-wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it was 24 degrees Celsius here yesterday.
Yep.
Still 23 degrees Celsius at 9 o'clock at night, and it's going to snow on Saturday. So to get a couple of days in a row, pretty good. You've done all right.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got in there sort of mid-morning Friday, couldn't get into our hotel till 4 p.m. because the place offers a midday checkout. So we hung around, waited for the other couple, Paula and James, to arrive. They got in a couple of hours after us. And then we just wandered the streets, went and checked out some of the laneways for their graffiti, places like ACDC Lane and Hosier Lane and whatever, and then found a little laneway full of restaurants at the GPO and decided we'd make a booking there for dinner. Went back to our hotel, got changed, came back, had dinner, went back to our hotel, sat around and chatted. And then Saturday we hired a car, drove out to the Yarra Valley, and then in the evening we came home, grabbed some takeout, and watched the Collingwood West Coast game on the telly.
Yeah, which is a pretty good game.
It was a fantastic game.
Nail biter.
Mate, it was all the way. For those who don't follow AFL, there were 11 changes of lead in the game. It was just crazy.
It was astounding, wasn't it?
That's how you want your grand final to be.
Yeah, a decent contest.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a fight with the lady at the shopping centre today, the checkout counter.
Okay.
She's packing the groceries, and she goes, "Oh, you're going to watch? You know, me." I was there with my youngest daughter,
right,
and who's a West Coast cheer squad member, and
yep,
makes the banner. And the woman goes, "Are you going to be watching the finals this weekend?" I said, "Oh, absolutely." And it said, "This one goes for West Coast." She goes, "Oh, West Coast," and she holds up her little Collingwood lapel pin. She goes, "Melbourne, I think they're playing. Melbourne will beat you."
No. So
straight away to Sydney, isn't it?
Yeah. GWS.
But she said Melbourne to beat you for some reason, so maybe that's what you're playing. Anyhow, I've gone, "But surely you want them to win the grand final, West Coast." She goes, "Why would I want that?" I said, "Because you lost to them.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose to them, to the team that gets kicked out the next week.
No.
You want to lose to the team that was the eventual winner, because then it's like, yeah, well, we lost, but we lost to the winner.
Yeah.
We didn't just lose to another loser."
So we had a great weekend. So.
Awesome.
Went out to the Yarra Valley, the first place. So I'd put up on Facebook earlier in the week that, you know, where should I go in the Yarra Valley, you know, and people came back with various recommendations. A couple of people had mentioned Coldstream Hill, so we made that our first stop and quite liked that, got some wine there. The next place we went to, we arrived and we thought, oh, there must be a wedding going on because there's all these young kids, like 18, 19, wandering around in there, and they're just meandering all over the driveway like lost sheep, and I'm having to drive through them at 5 kilometres an hour. Anyway, we get inside to do some tasting, and the girl says, oh, look, I'm sorry, but we've just got a busload of university students have just arrived. Oh. So we just went, okay, fine, thanks, catch ya, and jumped back in the car and went, well, that's number two off the list. And then the third place we went to wanted to charge for tasting, and we just went, nah, next. So moved on from there. And then the fourth place we went to was a place called Oak Ridge, who had some absolutely astoundingly good wines. So bought a case of stuff from there. And then we went out to Healesville, and we had lunch at Healesville, but we didn't get to go up Black Spur.
Oh, yeah.
I know. We just, it was too, there was so much to do and not enough time, you know. And then we went back to the dairy, and I mistakenly thought that the dairy was also the chocolatiery, and it wasn't. So we Googled where the chocolate factory was, and it was only 9 kilometres away. So we then jumped back in the car and drove to the chocolate factory and did that. And by that stage, we'd pretty much had enough. It was late afternoon.
Chocolate factory or Black Spur? One of the best scenic rides in Australia.
I know. We'll do it another time.
How bad was the chocolate factory?
Well, pretty bad,
yeah,
because it's chocolate. So we had a great time. We really did. All four of us had a really good weekend. So got home absolutely knackered, fell into bed here, and slept for a good 10 hours straight. So we had a good weekend.
Now you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, aren't you?
How did you guess?
Oh, I think we've heard you waffle on about it in the past.
Yeah. Why do you ask?
So you'd have heard of a guy called Little Steven.
Yes.
So he plays in the band or something, is that right?
Yes, he has his own band called The Disciples of Soul.
That's it.
Yep.
But he also plays in Spruce.
Yes, right? He's one of the guitarists in the E Street Band, yeah.
Well, I sent an email to a mate of mine in New York, who I've never met, but like an e-friend.
Oh, okay.
Who's a sax player with Little Steven.
Right.
And has played with Bruce, a sax player with Bruce in the past, and with David Bowie and all sorts of other people.
Wow.
But so I'll see if I get a chance to catch up with him whilst I'm in New York, because I've never met him, but yeah,
what's his name?
Loves photography. His name's Stan Harrison.
Right. Okay.
So I've just messaged, and he's just messaged back saying, really look forward to catching up. I'm recording with Little Steven all that week.
Wow.
In New York. But we probably don't start. There's got to be a way we can catch up. I'm now going to see if there's a way of getting to the recording studio.
Oh, dude.
This photography.
You got to do that.
How could you not? So stay tuned for that. This is breaking news right here.
So if it's Little Steven recording an album of his own, I'd say you've got a half a decent chance of sneaking in. If it's Springsteen, you've got no hope.
He's doing a Disciples of Soul. And he's been touring with Disciples of Soul around Europe and stuff. And
yeah, he's got a really good album out called Soul Fire. Definitely worth a listen.
Well, he's apparently, according to Stan, there's a good chance they're coming here next year.
Yeah, right.
So if they do, I'll hook you up with some tickets.
Awesome. Thank you. That would be awesome.
So it'd be pretty cool to get to the recording studio, wouldn't it?
And do a totally.
Bit of stuff.
Totally.
I'm excited now. There we go. We should have to meet the guy first and see if we like each other, and then see if he'll let me into the studio.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk photography, do you? We've been talking photography. Hey, you photographed some laneways and stuff when you were down here.
I did.
Anything interesting?
Look, you know, they're just shots of the graffiti. I figure it's all stuff that you've seen before. I didn't think you'd be particularly impressed with any of it.
But it's always changing, of course, the graffiti in Melbourne, which is one thing.
Yeah,
because there was painting over the stuff. So basically,
I did take a shot of my mate James in some natural light. I thought you might have picked up on that.
I wasn't looking.
But, yeah, no, of course you weren't.
Melbourne trip, 23 photos. It's a look there.
So it's probably...
Oh, James, it's a duo.
No. Well, there is that one of him and his wife in one of the lanes, but then there's another shot of him a bit later on.
How do you pronounce her name?
Paula.
Paula.
Even though it's spelt P-A-O-L-A, it's because her heritage is, Spanish, I want to say Peruvian.
Yeah.
Or Chilean. Might be Chilean.
That kind of zone.
Yeah.
That's right. Just the woman I've been working with in Tamron, USA,
yes,
name spelt the same way.
Right.
So when I meet her, I don't want to come out with, you know, bad manner.
You don't want to say
I'm looking at your natural light portrait.
Yeah.
What kind of weird ass photoshopping have you been doing on this?
I wouldn't say it was weird ass. I basically just tweaked the exposure so that his skin was on the money.
And what did you do to the background?
Nothing. Why?
Just looks weird as.
No. So what it was we were walking along this street and I noticed that off to camera left, as you're looking at that image, there was a high-rise building which the sun was reflecting off onto the stonework of this building that I've shot him alongside. And so I just said, stand there in the sun. There you go. Boom. That was it.
Interesting.
But no, I haven't done anything weird with the processing.
It looks weird. Maybe it's just your...
In what way?
Just the dynamic range just looks all complete. It might be Facebook's algorithm or whatever that just
okay.
But or it could be your camera's way of processing that. So it's just the contrast is really weird, and the background is too uniform in density.
Right.
It
was all in shadow. So
yeah, it just looks. I think it's a case of. Possibly, you know, the way Facebook's processed it, or the way my screen's showing it.
Right.
Maybe more so than because it doesn't look bad.
Right.
It just looks unusual.
Okay.
The contrast is all weird and but I like what you've done with the light. It's well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised with that much. You must have pulled the shadows up a fair bit on his left hand side of his face. Or was the light bouncing off the wall?
No, the light was just bouncing off the sandstone. Okay.
Wall was a bit of fill. Cool.
Hmm.
Nice work.
Thank you.
I mean, it looks shit, but I mean, nice.
Thank you, mate.
But I don't think that's you this time. I don't think that's you. So anyway. Basically, you went to an art gallery and took photos of the paintings on the wall.
You're referring to all the laneways?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, I actually enjoy doing graffiti photos, but it kind of feels that way.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. In an art gallery, taking a photo of something on the wall,
pretty much.
But yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But Melbourne is a terrific city to walk around and take photos in. It is.
It is absolutely. I like Melbourne a lot, other than for the weather.
Well, the weather's actually really good because we don't get the humidity that you guys get.
Right.
So that's when it's hot, it's not unpleasant. It's hot, it can be unpleasant. It gets much hotter than you guys get.
Right.
But not as
humid.
It's dry. Yeah. It's dry, so it's not so unpleasant.
Yeah.
And we don't have as much rain as you guys have, but we have it spread out over a longer period.
Yes.
So, you know,
over 360 days of the year.
We have two seasons, warm rain and cold rain.
Yes.
That's Seattle. But yeah, but it's a pretty cool city. Other than that, you know, to hop around in.
Totally, yeah, no,
yeah.
Love it a lot. Oh, yeah, we should do some stories.
Photo bits, I guess, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I've got a couple of bits.
Okay, do your things.
Just because I saw this thing called the Taylor Wessing Portrait Prize finalists were announced.
Okay,
so I thought I'd better have a click on it, see if there's any photos of people in it.
Right. Okay.
Because you know, it's not a given. You know, and they've got four finalists there. So I want you to click on the link and tell me what you think.
Okay. First one's interesting.
I like the first one, the boy in the jungle with the
green grassy stuff tied around his head.
It's a really cool and a very interesting angle. And I thought it was a nice. I'm not sure about the post-processing. It looks
my only thing with the composition is I wish his head was a little higher in the frame.
Really, I don't think you need. He's the opposite.
Okay, fair enough.
Because is he a big kid or a little kid?
Yeah, he's a little-ish kid.
Yeah, so by having that space above him makes him look small.
Okay,
you know what I mean. If you make him fill the frame, he looks like a bigger kid.
Right.
So maybe the intention of the story is to make it feel like he's small in this big jungle.
Okay.
But that's just in perspective. It's kind of interesting how you see that, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. To me, the post-processing looks a little bit like an Instagram filter.
Yep.
Yeah. So not in love with that, but I like the lighting, the concept is really, really cool.
It does feel like the white balance has been shifted a little to accentuate the greens more than is natural.
Yeah, something skewed, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. But as far as an image goes, regardless of personal taste in post-processing, I think it's certainly a good portrait.
Yep.
It's a good portrait of a portrait prize. Image number two.
Next one, woman with the baby. Again, it's a natural light portrait taken, I'm guessing, in late afternoon light.
Remember, just to clarify, the top prize is £15,000.
Right.
This is one of the finalists.
Yeah, I'm not in love with it.
I don't think it's anything remote. It's an iPhone snap at best.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Almost no redeeming features.
You know, her expression doesn't look loving towards the child.
Her expression looks like she wants to strangle a kid, which I think we've all been there.
Yes.
We've all been there, my friend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just a bizarre, and the backgrounds, the distractions.
It's all over the shop.
The weird sort of urban environment.
Yeah.
The next one's kind of cool.
Yep. I love the positive and negative of the black and the white, and that works really nicely.
It's interesting. It looks like they've cloned out the background.
Yes.
And so it's like a cutout image.
Yep.
And it's obviously a street photo.
Which should have immediately disqualified it from being a finalist in a portrait competition, in my opinion.
Not necessarily, because it's a portrait still.
Yeah.
Why do you think it should disqualify it?
Well, it's tampering with the... Yeah, okay. I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's not photojournalism. True. It has to be in reality.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I don't necessarily... I can see why they did it, because it exacerbates the white and dark. I just don't... Yeah, I just don't know if it really makes the image great. Mm. And then the last one.
Hate it.
That's a fabulous 70s brick wall, the island,
isn't it?
That is a fabulous. I've got to say, the light on the kid's really good.
The light is good, yeah.
The uniform is, well, the hat's interesting at least.
Yes.
The hat's cool.
Yeah, but
my goodness.
Yeah, the brick wall is in too much in focus. I know it's a little bit soft, but it's too much in focus.
Oh, yeah, it's just a terrible, terrible background.
Again, it looks like it could be an iPhone snap.
Yeah.
You know, ideally you'd have taken that with, a lens that could open up to 1.2 or 1.4 and, try and...
I don't know why you need to have that background there at all.
No. No. Other than you were trying to make use of that nice soft light.
So to me, there's one image out of the four which has shown some photographic skill.
Yeah. The first one.
So it's interesting. It's for a £15,000. But apparently this Taylor Wessing prize is known for its bizarre... choices,
right?
So much to the point that someone started a website showing all the rejects that they thought was better.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm just clicking on the link for portraitsalon.co.uk, which is all the rejects. Oh, where are the images? Oh, galleries. That'd be it. 2017. Let's have a look. Yeah, a lot of them deserve to be rejected.
Yeah. But see, it's stuff like this, which is why I could never feel like entering a photograph.
Right.
I mean, I'm reasonably good at doing a portrait.
Yep.
Yeah, not all great, but I get some good ones. It's really pretty cool.
Yep.
But I have no confidence that they'd be chosen because, they choose this stuff that doesn't make you understand what photography is sometimes. Yeah.
You know, call me biased, but I promise it's not. But I really like the shot of the audio engineer, which is the third one down on the left-hand side. No, seriously, can you see the image?
No.
This is in 2017.
He's in the middle in mine.
Oh, is he? Right. So you've got all of the audio gear in the background, which is all out.
See, I never would have known that's audio gear.
Okay, that's fair enough, and you shouldn't, because it's not meant to be the main subject of the image. You've got great light on him, which, you know, exacerbates his character. And I just love the position of his forearm because it's, like, really bold and central to the frame, although it's a little bit off-center, but I still like it.
It also, the arm takes away from, the mass of the arm takes away from the subject matter of the face.
It does a little.
The arms, I'm not a big fan of that big fist under the chin kind of look for my own personal taste.
Sure.
It's a big block to, to the view, but certainly a strong image. I'll give you definitely a strong, and certainly could have been up there above and beyond majority of those other ones in there. Well, I was still looking at all these other images. I still like that green one the best.
Totally.
Just something about, I think, that just with those reeds tied around the head.
Yep.
Right down the bottom, I'm not sure if it's right at the bottom, is a photo of an old lady with a cup of tea. Love that. That's really nice. But, you know, but that's catering to my taste of loving a black background.
Yep.
And a dramatic old codger. You know, of course I'm going to like that.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, we'll put that link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that lot out.
Now, Apple today released some new phones.
Oh, did they?
I don't care.
Fantastic.
About their top-of-the-range model has their photo side of things has been really ramping up the last couple of editions of phone.
Oh, okay. And
using a lot more computational photography processes. So their top-of-the-range one, possibly the top two in the new three they've released, has slidable bokeh.
Meaning?
Well, basically, it's really a matter of refocusing the image post-shooting.
Oh, okay.
So you can choose to have the background completely blurred or the background completely in focus, and you can slide basically like from 2.8 to f16.
Right.
And there's some quite cool little examples in the link through that I sent to you.
Is that basically what it's doing, like taking two shots at extremes of the aperture?
I think what it's doing is doing the big depth.
Yeah.
And then computationally blurring out the image.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
But having seen some phenomenal results, I've taken some really cool shots using their computational background blur.
Yeah.
So it works really, really well in some situations, but when everything comes together well, it works really, really well.
Okay.
So, you know, it's got some potential to some really cool photography out of it. So.
Nice.
And the last thing is there's some rumors going around that Fuji may be about to announce at Photokina in a couple of weeks' time, the cheapest ever digital medium format camera.
Right.
Which, if true, they're saying it's looking like it's going to be around about $3,600 US body only.
Okay.
Which means it'll probably sell for about $3,200.
Yep.
Which puts it in the category of about $4,500 Australian.
Right.
Which is right where your Nikon 850s and your Canon 5D Mark IVs sit.
Right.
So all of a sudden, your Canon Nikon now will be competing against medium format cameras in that price point.
So the rumor is calling this the Fujifilm GFX 50S. Does that mean it's 50 megapixels?
The 50R. The 50S is the one that's already out.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yes, sorry. My apologies. So is it 50 megapixels? Is that the...
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And I've used the 50S, and it is astounding.
Right. Good.
I mean, holy guacamole, look at the detail on that sucker. Good.
Yeah, right.
So, interesting stuff. And the lenses they've got, the Fuji, one thing you got to love about Fuji, when they put something out, they stick to it. Yeah, and they're done with their X Pro ones, all that sort of stuff. The lens range they brought out for all their X series cameras is astoundingly huge.
Right.
Yeah. Remembering when Fuji started out with their cameras, they didn't have any camera business. They didn't have a lens business, well, commercial, normal retail lens business. They made TV lenses, stuff like that. So they've come out over the last 7 or 8 years with a dozen or more great cameras, and 15 or 20 great. There's been no one could come out with a more complete system in the line, including Sony, over the last 7 or 8 years than Fuji has.
Yeah, right.
So they've done the same with their medium format camera. They brought this camera out and they brought out a series of lenses and then showed here's the timeline of what else is coming up.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So you've got a really, really good camera with a really good series of lenses. I think the only downside is no third party's making lenses for them.
Oh, okay.
But the quality is just mind-blowingly good.
Yeah,
if it's starting to compete with your top-end Canon Nikons, it could add another little level of trouble to those companies.
Yeah.
That, yeah. It gives you a third person to think about, if nothing else, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're not already invested in the lenses.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Big thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's my stuff for them.
All right. Well,
see ya.
So one thing I came across this afternoon as I was looking for some stuff to talk about was an article on DIYphotography.net. These lens-inspired watches are perfect for photographers, and it's a series of six analog wristwatches where the faces look like the barrel of a camera lens.
Yeah, they're cool, aren't they?
They are very cool. I just thought that was something a bit different. So.
I like quirky stuff like that. See, a few years ago, my mates at a company called Photo Jojo,
right,
were all over these quirky stuff. They had a whole business devoted to quirky things based around photography.
Right.
And if you ever wanted a gift for anyone in photography,
That'd
be to go to.
Nice.
And I just saw today they've announced that they're closing down. So. That's rather sad.
The next thing I saw also on DIYphotography.net was Adobe's new content-aware fill interface makes it really easy fake photos.
When I saw that, I thought of you.
And my anti-Adobe stance.
And the fact that you posted on Facebook the other week about, I've got Darktable and a content-aware, and how would you do this if you don't have Photoshop? It's simple.
So anyway, there's a little minute and a quarter video that shows a sneak peek of the new features coming to Content Aware Fill in Photoshop CS later this year. And there's some pretty neat stuff coming. So the current version of Content Aware Fill basically makes its own guess at which part of the image to use for the Content Aware Fill. The new version is going to allow you to dictate which areas of the image are used for that content-aware fill, which is a nice development.
So it's like combining content-aware fill with clone.
With clone, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also going to allow you...
advantages.
Yeah, it's also going to allow you the option to dictate where the new pixel data goes, whether it goes on the original layer or whether it gets put into a new layer, so you can do it as non-destructive. And it's also going to offer the ability to rotate, to scale, and to mirror the cloned pixels. So, looks pretty
really,
funky.
It's really advancing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, nice one, Adobe.
Not that you'll be able to take advantage of it.
That's exactly right. Rob Coates sent us an email, said, "G'day, Inks. I came across this article about an English photographer who holds little paper cutouts in front of his camera as he photographs famous landmarks.
Yeah,
the results
are clever
and amusing." And they absolutely were. I looked at these when Rob sent the email a few days ago.
Me too.
And
I don't normally do it because it was Rob. Normally I ignore people's emails, but because it was Rob, I was right onto that.
I thought the very first image in the blog post was very clever, the one with the Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, with the Marilyn Monroe, yeah.
The building that just, looks like a white skirt over the New York subway. It was very clever. So there's a whole bunch of images there that are definitely worth checking out. And Carl Hemmings sent us a link to, or he sent me an email, said, "I follow her on Instagram and I've seen some of her courses. She gets killer dog portraits." Now, we've featured the work of this photographer on the podcast at least once, I think possibly twice before. But it seems that this lady is now getting her own National Geographic Wild TV channel show about her puppy photography business. So good on her. And if you haven't seen her work before, then you absolutely need to check it out, because she really does absolutely nails the dog photography like nothing else I've ever seen.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
That is it.
We've done it.
We have.
Episode 6 or whatever it is we're up to. We've got another one under the bag.
That's exactly right.
Some of the content was not too bad.
No.
I'll give us a C+ for that.
Fantastic. Thank you.
C+ C. It was pretty decent.
Yeah.
We went on our A game because neither of us had prepared anything with.
So what do you got on for the rest of the week?
Well, it's Friday tomorrow, so nothing.
Right.
I've got to just start getting my head around stuff for the US, and I'm planning a planning conversation with my guide in Bangladesh for my Bangladesh tour in February.
Nice.
And that's about it.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Really slack. Extremely slack.
You wouldn't believe this. Saturday night in Melbourne. Friday night in Melbourne. I get a phone call from the female photographer I was doing the sports photography for.
Oh, yeah.
And I've answered it and gone, so-and-so, how's it going? And she goes, oh, good.
Why you call me so-and-so? And
anyway, we had a little bit of a chat, after, just to, pleasantries. And she goes, are you available to shoot tomorrow? I said, no, I'm in Melbourne. And, she jokingly said, how could you go off to Melbourne and not let me know you were coming? She was kidding, of course, but, I thought that was funny. But,
Of course. So they're spending money instead of earning it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
It's always the way.
All right, mate, will you have a good week?
I will. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been your pleasure. And
we'll talk to you in a week.
See ya.
See ya, mate. Bye.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.